today we're going to talk about near-death experience again. You know, I really like this subject, and I've done many, many programs over the years on near-death experience and got the perspective of all kinds of different people from all kinds of walks of life, and they tell me what they saw and did and why they came back and what happened to their life after they came back. So today we're going to have as our guest on the show today Danny Bader. He's a best-selling author and inspirational speaker, and his life was transformed by a near-death experience over 20 years ago. He and a friend were electrocuted by 11,000 volts and both died, but only Danny came back. His struggle to go from just living again to being engaged and alive was the basis for the book we're going to talk about today, Back from Heaven's Front Porch, Five Principles to Create a Happy, Fulfilling Life. Hi, Danny. It's great to have you on the show today.
Oh, thank you, Wayne. Thanks for having me. I look forward to speaking with you.
Okay. So, I guess what I'd like for you to do is summarize your near-death experience.
Sure. So, a friend and I, as you just mentioned, we were working in a construction job at a house, and we were cleaning up at the end of the day, and we were lowering a large metal ladder, 28-foot ladder, and we saw the electric lines, and we thought we'd be clear of them, and we weren't. And it was about 8 to 10,000 volts of electricity that came down the ladder and went into both of us. And we both died, and I came back. So when I was initially hit by the electric, I had a very, very calm, peaceful feeling. I knew that I was dying. I knew that I was dead, who I was crossing over. And I saw the other brother on the roof, so that my friend Bruce, who passed away, he and his brother had the company, and his other brother was on the roof and turned and was starting to come down a ladder. And I saw him, and I was yelling to him, hey, get your brother. I didn't say, help me, save me. As I said, it was very, very peaceful. And then my energy, my spirit, my soul, you know, it left. It was no longer there in this world. And it was joined with what I believe to be God, the source of divine energy. And I reflected on my life. There were no words. I didn't pass through a tunnel. And I reflected on my life. And the communication, again, was not words. It was a very kind of cosmic communication. Very hard to put into words. It was very hard to write about in the book because you're trying to describe a situation in English language, which was not an, you know, a worldly event. So I expressed concern for my mom and my girlfriend. And as soon as I did that, my body started up again. Now, when I came to again, I had no idea what had transpired there. I didn't know how long I was gone. There's no time there. But what happened next is I crawled over to my friend who was, got hit with the electricity with me. And his brother was working CPR on him. So I crawled over and came up next to him, and the brother looked at me and said, how are you here? And I said, I'm not sure what you're talking about. Let me help you. So I was doing CPR. And then the paramedics came, and they moved both of us away. The paramedics did not know that I was hit by the electricity. They just saw, you know, two guys working on another guy. And I went and sat against the fence, and my feet were killing me, so I took my boots off. They had little holes in them, and then my socks had holes in them. And then I took the socks off, and my feet had holes in them. Four holes, two on each side of each foot. And there was no blood because it was all cauterized on the way out. So the other brother comes over to me, and he says, geez, you know, what happened? And I said, I guess we hit the wires. And he said, yeah, I know, I heard it. And I said, yes, I know. I saw you coming down the ladder. I was yelling for you to get your brother. I was yelling to you. And he looked at me and he said, you didn't say anything. And I said, well, what did you do? He said, I came to you first and did CPR for a few minutes. And your eyes are rolled back. You had no heart rate, no respiration rate, foam all over your mouth. And he said, I gave you up for dead. and went across the street and called 911 and then ran back past me, you know, still in that dead state, and then went to his brother. So I would offer, you know, I'd ask him, I'd say, well, how long was I dead? And he would say, 6 minutes, 8 minutes. You know, so that's the short version of the experience that I had.
Okay. So you don't have any memory of being on the, as they say, other side?
Well, the memory that I have is that me, Danny Bader, the energy that makes my body go here in this world, was joined with the source of all that energy. As I said, my belief is that it's God. So my Danny Bader, my conscious, I was still conscious, but I was not in my body anymore.
I see.
There was a part of me that continued on. And I had a sense that there was further to go for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I expressed concern for my mom and my girlfriend at the time, who's my wife now. And as soon as I expressed that concern, that's when, as I said, my body started again. I came back. And I've read, and you and I chatted just before we started, when you asked me if I knew a woman that's an expert in near-death experiences. I didn't know of her, but afterwards I certainly read a whole lot about it. And there was a common theme where when people had that choice to stay or go back, the people that expressed concern for their loved ones, their children, there was a common theme that was the catalyst for bringing them back to this world.
Yeah, most of the people that have a good near-death experience, they don't really want to come back, but they feel like that they've been told that they still have something left to do that's important mm-hmm. in their life, and so...
Yeah.
So they don't really have a choice. They have to come back. So
yeah.
You didn't initially have that feeling that your mission, your purpose, your destiny was ahead of you, that you had to come back to do that, but it developed later. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, when I came back, I was, certainly in a traumatic way, in a dark place, because I blamed myself for my friend's death. And, my mom had said to me many times, she said, it's just like you're living to die again. And that's what I was struggling with as well, because the existence that I moved into was absolutely beautiful. It was better than anything on this earth. And I was trying to explain that to my mom and my dad and my six brothers, my sister. I mean, I had so many people that loved me and supported me. It was just very hard to come back to this world and deal with all the pain that I was dealing with after I had a taste of that divine peace, is what I can call it.
So, after you came back, did you have emotional, psychological, or physical problems that you had to deal with?
Yeah, I had, my feet had the burns, and they did some debridement, so I was on crutches for some time, and a little skin graft on the one side of the foot. But the physical... You know, the physical injuries healed probably within 8 weeks. But, yeah, the mental injuries were really what I struggled with. You know, the blame. Why him? You know, wonderful father of three children. I wasn't married yet, no kids. So, yeah, I went through my round of psychiatrists and priests and all kinds of folks to try to help me get my head right. And, none of them really worked for me. You know, the way that I needed it. The guy at the end probably was the best. But that was, that may have been about a year after the accident. So, yeah, it was a dark place.
A lot, yeah.
For support in a lot of the wrong places.
Yeah, I've been dealing with addiction for the last 30 to 40 years.
I saw, yeah.
Did you have any addictive behaviors either before or after that experience that you had to deal with?
Not really. I did, rely on, drinking a whole lot after that, for the wrong reasons, just to try to, make the pain go away. And, you know, some other behaviors as well. You know, the drinking and some drugs and, you know, just looking to make yourself feel better through things that don't make you really feel better.
Yeah, well, that's the way it goes in that particular disease. You're looking for an answer, mm-hmm. but you're looking in the wrong place.
Exactly.
Okay, so this book that you wrote, your first book, Back from Heaven's Front Porch, why the front porch?
You know, as I said to you, I felt as though I had further to go in that experience. And I remember one time I was telling one of my brothers, Paul, my older brother, they said I have six brothers. And, you know, it was after the accident, and I was doing much, much better. And I said to him, you know, as we talked about the experience, I said it felt like I had further to go. And he said to me, you know, with a little smile, and he said, well, maybe you were just on heaven's front porch. And then several years later, when I started to write the book and I was thinking about a title, I thought that's a good way of putting it.
Okay.
Because you think if you're on someone's front porch, you know, the house, you're kind of there, but you're not necessarily in. And that was, you know, that was the experience that I had,
right.
that I remember,
mm-hmm.
that my soul had further to go.
So this book you classify as a fiction based on a real story.
Yes.
And what would you like to tell the listeners today about this book, the plot, or something to mm-hmm. summarize?
Yeah. So the book is about a young man named Jake. And the first line is, why is there no blood? And it takes you right into Jake's world, as he's looking at the holes in his feet. And it's just Jake's journey back from that. So I wrote the book, it was published in 2012. And what I did is I reflected from that dark time in my life until I was maybe 38, so it was about 10 years afterwards. I thought to myself, what principles have I applied in my life to make me happier and more fulfilled? And then I call them jackrabbit, because the jackrabbit has, in the animal kingdom, the jackrabbit has really good vision. Its eyes are high up on its head and further towards the back. So the five principles that Jake learns about in this book are called jackrabbit. That's the model. And vision is the key one. So it just takes you, the book takes you through Jake's accident, through Jake's struggles. And then Jake leaves and meets some interesting characters that help him understand, you know, these principles. So, you know, the feedback that I get from people is we all have our challenges in life, and we're probably going to have more. And the folks that read it just say that it's, you know, it slows them down, makes them thankful for what they have, and inspires them to kind of press on and keep going in this wonderful journey of life, even with its challenges.
Okay, Danny, can you go over those five principles for me?
Sure. Yeah, so the first one is to develop vision. And vision is the ability for us to imagine what needs to be real. So in a lot of the work that I do, the workshops in corporate America and different organizations, I'll take folks through an exercise where they imagine the next 6 months of their life or the next year, and they write a letter back to themselves from that future date about everything that happened. Very, very powerful exercise. So the first one is to develop vision. And that concept came to me, and I think it saved my life, because I was in the Outer Banks of North Carolina down there in October. The accident happened in July. And I was in the worst frame of mind that I had been in, and was very close to self-destruction. And I called my mom down there. And I walked after I hung up, I walked out of the phone booth, and I said, I wonder what it's going to be like when I get better. And when, that was the first time, July, August, September, October, almost 4 months, that was the first time I imagined getting better. As soon as I started to do that, something shifted inside of me. And I had a long road ahead of me, but that kind of moved me back into life.
You actually went out to the chemist to kill yourself?
Yeah.
Okay, and you're talking about vision now. how does that relate to mission or purpose?
Well, those words all blend together. For me, vision is the ability for me to imagine what needs to be real. Mission and purpose. Purpose for me is why am I here? What should I be doing with my life, with my talents? The mission sometimes is to me like the vision. You know, the mission is an outcome. Here's the mission. Here's what we need to get done. So I see that very close in my mind to the vision. The purpose is really the why. And for me, it's just to continue to speak and write and show up in the world to support people and offer them some information that is going to produce more happiness and more fulfillment for them and their families. That's how I see it.
Yeah, my personal belief is that each of us, everybody on the planet, was created for some unique purpose or mission. And if they can find out what that is and pursue it, they will have a much better life. And how do you...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said. Well said. And it took me a little while to get there. You know, you come back and, you know, so many questions about why did you come back? It wasn't your time. You know, people say all those things. And they mean well. But I struggled for a long time trying to figure why did I come back? And then I just gave it up, and I said, you know, I'm not gonna worry about that. But I think, you know, as I reflect on it now, the reason is to have the three wonderful children that we have, and for me to tell this story, and to, you know, encourage people to pay attention to that something bigger than us, you know, that I call God.
Okay, so
that's how I see my purpose now.
Yeah. Vision is your first principle. What's the second?
Mm-hmm. The second one is to be still, which is simply just to practice periods of stillness, whether it be prayer, meditation, journaling. So that's the second one. The third one is to know thyself. And with that one, I really talk to folks about holding up the mirror, watching what your beliefs are about the world, watching what your mindset is, understanding, as you said, know yourself, understanding what your talents are, how best to use those. So it's develop vision, be still, know thyself, and you can see where these would all help Jake, you know, that fictional character in the book, get through this tough time that he has. The fourth one is to seek support. So make sure that you surround yourself with good people, make sure that you support yourself with, you know, the movies that you watch, the books that you read, you know, the videos, the YouTube, the TED Talks, you know, support yourself with good information. And then the other side of that principle is not just to seek support, but also to be support. To make sure that you show up in this world and you're giving back, you know, through formal volunteering or just informal. How you go about your daily life, how are you supporting others. And then the fifth one is to evolve, which is to undergo continuous and gradual change and growth. And a lot of times people will say, okay, Danny, I understand the first four, you know, vision, stillness, know thyself, seek support. How do I practice the fifth principle? And I say, just keep doing the other four. And if you do those and you start to weave those into your life, then you can't help but to change and to grow.
Okay.
Pretty simple model.
Danny Bader, back from Heaven's Front Porch, five principles to create a happy and fulfilling life. Danny, after that first book, you wrote Abraham's Diner. Tell us about Abraham's Diner.
Yeah, Abraham's Diner is a short little business fable. You know, it's probably about a two-hour read for people. And it's about an executive named Patrick. And Patrick is very successful in the business world, but there are some parts of his life that he is not paying attention to. So he goes into this diner owned by this older Hawaiian gentleman named Abraham and, you know, forms a friendship with him. And Abraham slows him down and allows him to get some perspective on things. I've just seen him in my corporate work win so many people that are, you know, pursuing the corporate goals and the money and everything else, which is fine. I say that's absolutely fine, but just make sure all the other parts of your life come along with it. Don't sacrifice. So that was the idea for Abraham's Diner. And, you know, thankfully, as I said, people like that one as well. Slows them down and, you know, inspires them a bit to look for some changes and some things in life to experiment with.
I've had Ken Blanchard on my program a number of times. He does business story in a book like this.
Oh, yeah.
Was he your mentor?
No, he wasn't. I certainly read his books over the years. I've read a lot of those, you know, the fables. Robin Sharma, he wrote The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. Andy Andrews is a Christian writer that has written some books. So I kind of was influenced by them, you know, telling the story and getting your lessons in through the story. Because I tried to write the book in first person. I started it a few times, back from Heaven's Front Porch, and it just didn't feel right. And I was on the phone with a writer from down in Tennessee. Somebody had put me in touch with her, and she was great. And she said, why don't you just tell it as a story and make up characters? And I said, yeah, but then it won't be true. You know, I don't want to come in and say, hey, I had this experience. And she said, that's fine. If people ask you in the book what's true and what's not, you just tell them. You know, but the main character of Jake, you know, had this near-death experience just like you did, and he struggled to get back. So as soon as I made up Jake and characters, the writing comes a whole lot easier to me this way, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so after those two books, you wrote another book, I Met Jesus for a Miller Lite. That's kind of an unusual title.
Yeah, so I wrote this one, and it's all fiction. And it's about a young man named Michael, and he played football in the NFL for 5 years and had two concussions and just didn't make the cut, bounced around for a few teams, and now he's out of the league. And his dream, his goal, was to play in the league for, you know, a long time, 12, 15 years. So he's kind of just a lost soul now, trying to figure out what to do because his plan did not work out the way that he wanted it. And then he's got a real good friend, Nick, and Nick is married to Anna, and they're just recently married, you know, young people in their late 20s, and she has an illness, so there's a struggle there. And then there's a couple other characters that have challenges in life, and Michael meets this interesting character that helps him out a little bit. That's all I'll say about that one.
Okay. So, do you have anything else coming up?
I don't right now, Wynn. You know, I'm starting to think about some ideas for another book, and nothing really coming up right now for me. I am working on a screenplay for Back from Heaven's Front Porch. We've been working on that for a number of years, and I feel like we're pretty much getting to the end where it will be the way we want it. And then we'll start to pitch to some, you know, some film companies. Probably inspirational films, you know, maybe folks, you know, who make Christian films. So that's kind of where I'm putting some of the focus now.
Right.
You know, in addition to my speaking and my, you know, my corporate work.
Do you want to give me your web address so that I can refer people to you?
Oh, that would be great. Sure. When it is www.dannybader.com, all one word, dannybader.com. And then, you know, I have a YouTube channel and all the other social media as well. So if folks wanted to take a look and find out more about me or find out, you know, about the books or the corporate workshops that I do, they could find it out there.
Yeah, sure.
That would be great.
Channel under Danny Bader.
What's that, Wynn?
Is your YouTube channel Danny Bader?
It is, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, if they searched YouTube, they'd see a lot of different videos.
Right. What else didn't I not ask you that you think is important?
Well, I think that, you know, as the listeners are here, you know, hopefully they've taken one or two things from our discussion right here. I think really what's important for us is to realize that we have a wonderful journey here called life, and it is an imperfect journey, and there are challenges for all of us. But just trust and believe in something bigger, and make sure that you kind of enjoy what you have and get through the difficult times when you need to. That would be the message that I would offer to folks.
And stay away from electrical wires.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Indeed.
I did a story with a fella. He got electrocuted twice in the same day. That electricity is not too much fun.
Wow. Same day twice.
Yeah.
How much voltage do you know?
No, I don't. Yeah.
Well,
it was a bolt of lightning. How do you measure that?
Oh, goodness. Wow.
But
that was an interesting story.
It was.
Okay,
so Danny Bader, back from Heaven's Front Porch. I Met Jesus for a Miller Lite and Abraham's Diner, his three books. And you have his web address. It's DannyBader.com. And it's been a pleasure talking with you today, Danny, and having you on the program. And maybe when you get your next book, you'll come back and we'll do it again.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah, Wynn, I really appreciate chatting with you and, to all the listeners. Wish you all the best. Thanks very much.